Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray our prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. Make your will known to all so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our reading the letters. We are in 89, I believe.
Letter number 89 to Frederico Abresch, In Voluntate Dei, Fiat. Most esteemed one in the divine volition, I received your dear letter from Bologna, and since I was unable to answer you soon, I was not sure about where to write you, whether to Bologna or to San Giovanni Rotondo. This is why I did not write you. If the divine will wants it, you can come whenever you'd like, because it is the divine will that must have its prime place in all our acts. If we do so, it will carry us on its lap and do together with us whatever we do. We will love with its love. We will pray together with it. Its steps will be ours. Oh, how happy it will be to live this divine life with the creature who knows it, because only knowledge gives us the highest good of possessing it. It makes its goods our own. And oh, how happy it is to let us live with its own will and to see us possessing its own goods. In this holy divine will, it sees the seas of its love no longer deserted, but populated by its children. Therefore, let us hold dear taking refuge in the divine will as our life. Dearest son in the divine volition, since you are near Holy Padre Pio, talk to him about our things, that he may talk about them with the Lord. And if the Lord wants it, let him tell you something. Entrust me to his prayers, for I need them very much. Kiss his hands for me. I commend myself to your prayers, and leaving you in the divine volition, that you may live more in heaven than on earth. From the heart, I greet Father, Mother, and Son. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, August 5th, 1940. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Okay. You see, well, in this letter, we again find the doctrine of the divine will in a very simple way, taught by Luisa Picaretta. And she tells to Federico here, it is the divine will that must have its prime place in all your acts. But what does it mean really to have the divine will in all our acts? You know, many things have been said about the divine will, to immerse ourselves in the divine will, to be in union with the divine will. But what does it mean really to have the divine will in our acts. Luisa Picarreta is saying the divine will, it is the divine will that must have its prime place in our acts. So, with that line in mind, I wish to remind you of the paragraph that we read last time from Volume 29, October 8, 1931, in which we read in a very specific way what the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta, that all our acts should be in line with the same purpose that he intended to do all his acts as he possessed, as he lived his human life, as the divinity, the divine nature operated in his humanity, in the humanity of our Lord Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, becoming flesh and containing by nature the divine will operating in this humanity throughout his whole life, since the moment of conception all the way till the moment until he was crucified. The divine will had its prime place in all his acts in our Lord Jesus. So again, we go back and we ask ourselves, what does it mean to have the divine will as the prime place or force or whatever, in whatever way you want to see it in our acts? So that's a question that each one of you has to, as we grow in the knowledge and understanding of the divine will, we have to think about it. That's why it's so important to read and to spend time with the Book of Heaven. Nothing substitutes. Sometimes you go and you listen to audios and things and that, but nothing substitutes the actual reading. And this is what we are trying to do here. So I hope all of you have your reading there and also the Book of Heaven so that we can go through and you can follow. Because if not, we just get these concepts in our mind, and we start repeating things and repeating things, but we don't really know what they mean. Later on, Luisa Picaretta will say something about the importance of knowledge, or really knowing using the power of the soul, that capacity that we have, that God gave us. He endowed our soul with the will, the intellect, and the memory. So the intellect has to be involved because it's part of the soul. So the whole soul has to be. When we say that we have, when we read that we should love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, when it says the soul, this is involved the will, the intellect, and the memory. So then again, we go back to our question. What does it mean to have the divine will as the prime purpose, or as the prime mode, or to be the prime place in all our actions? So, having in mind that our Lord, when he took on our flesh, everything that he was doing, he had in mind this gift to give us this gift that we lost. This is the only reason, basically, for him to become flesh and to come in to rescue us, because we lost that gift. And now this gift has to be given to us back. God never changed his mind. In the beginning, when he created Adam, we talk about Adam and Eve. In this unity of the wills which he possessed with God, So this is the way in which Adam was created in the unity of the will. So the two wills, the divine will and the human will. So he lost this gift. Now there is the need to restore this gift. So this is the purpose of for our Lord to become flesh, to re-establish, to give us that gift back again. So whenever everything that our Lord has in mind, everything that he does, he has in mind the kingdom, basically the fulfillment of the Our Fathers, the fulfillment of that prayer. So I will suggest that having read that passage, in which our Lord tells us that all the good, all the sacrifices, the pain, the heroisms, that all the saints, he says, ancient and new did, they have done, they are there, but they are incomplete, he says. Only the ones of the Blessed Mother and the ones that he did in his humanity, they are complete because they were in that union. But then he says that everything else, even though is good, even though they suffer, and even though they did a lot of sacrifices, he says that if they are not in line with the purpose, if they don't have the divine will as the prime reason for them to do all of that, he says they remain imperfect, disorders. Because they don't have the purpose of the creator. So when Luisa Picarreta again, he tells Federico, it is the divine will that must have its prime place in our acts. In that same passage, we read the Lord said to Lisa Picaretta that the greatest honor that we can give to heaven is to offer those acts. That, talking about the saints of the past and the new saints, offering all the acts that they did, and he says to call them, to remember, and to offer them. And then he says, for what? For the noble, the most high, and sublime purpose of the coming of the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. So, right there is how we place the divine will as the prime reason for us to do anything. This is how the divine will acquires in us its prime place in our actions, in our acts. So we can say now that having found the reason of having found or having understood how we put the divine will basically in all our acts, and the reason for what all our acts should be done is that the Lord says very clear. Because this is the same reason that our Lord had in mind whenever he was doing anything. Whenever he performed a miracle, the main reason was not for the leper to be clean. He performed that miracle for the kingdom to come. At the spiritual level, yes, he was redoing the whole human race. Because after the fall, after we lost that unity in which God created Adam and Eve, now the Lord calls it the unity of wills. Then man became basically deformed. He lost all grace. Before he was full of grace. And now he's totally empty. So he becomes blind, spiritually blind. He becomes spiritually crippled, spiritually deaf. But the Lord, when he comes in his humanity and he is doing that, is for the kingdom to come. Perhaps we can go to a place where we can read a little bit more about this. This is also another passage that I think is very important for us to keep in mind, is volume 23, October 2, 1927. So Luisa Picaretta tells us that as she is doing her rounds in creation, she says, to follow all the acts of the divine will which are in it. And as I arrive at Eden, in which God created the first man, Adam, in order to unite myself with him, to that unity of wills which he possessed with God, in which he did his first acts in his first period of creation, I thought to myself, who knows what sanctity my first father, Adam, possessed? What value his first acts done in the kingdom of the divine fiat contain? And how can I impetrate, or how can I call, how can I bring the kingdom so holy upon earth again? So as I am the only one occupied with obtaining a good so great. But while I was thinking of this, my always love of Jesus came out from within my interior, sending rays of light, and that light converted into words. And he told me, my daughter, first daughter of my will, I want to reveal to you, as daughter of my will, the sanctity of he who possessed the kingdom of my divine fiat. At the beginning of creation, this kingdom had its life, its perfect dominion, and its complete triumph. So it is not complete foreign to human family. And because it is not foreign, there is all the sure hope for it to return again into their midst to reign and dominate. So we know that in the person of Adam, this was perfect. The acts of Adam before the fall, they are not incomplete. So going back to the other paragraph, we are able now to recall, to remember, and now we offer all the acts of Adam for the kingdom of the divine will to descend upon earth. The ones that he did before, but now we also do. We remember all the acts that he did. There is another passage in the Book of Heaven that it says that after the fall, basically Adam, he didn't sin anymore. I don't have it here right now, but there is a passage that says that. So we can offer also now, based on the paragraph and based on the line that we get from Luisa Picaretta in her letter today, now we are able to also remember, to recall, and to offer all the good that Adam did after the fall, all his life, and to offer it for the divine will to descend upon earth as it reigned in heaven. Because after that period, what our Lord is saying, according to this passage, those acts that he did, they remained imperfect. disorders, incomplete. Bishop Garreta, she wants to unite herself in this other paragraph in volume 23, the one I gave you. She wants to unite herself to pick up from where he left. Now we have found like the key to be able to do that ourselves, to go also to go back and to recall, to remember all the good that Adam did, and to offer it to the Lord, to offer it to the Blessed Trinity for the right purpose, for the purpose of the coming of the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. Because after that, the divine will didn't have its prime place in the acts of Adam after the fall. I hope that makes sense. So after the fall, the divine will didn't have its prime place in the acts of Adam. But now, thanks to Luisa writing, and our Lord telling us that we are able, that the way now, basically, we are able to give to Adam the grace that was lost, basically is to remember, to recall, to remember, and to offer all the good that he did from the moment of the fall until the end of his days, and to offer all of those for the kingdom of the divine will to come upon earth. That's the way we place the divine will. That's the practical way that we can place the divine will in its prime place in our acts. Let's read a little bit more. This is a long paragraph. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, our Lord is talking now, and he says, now you must know that Adam possessed such sanctity when he was created by God, and his acts, even the slightest, had such value that no saint, either before or after my coming upon earth, can be compared to his sanctity. All of their acts together do not reach the value of one single act of Adam. Why? Because Adam possessed the fullness. He possessed that unity of the wills. But now, so now we understand that Adam possessed that fullness that he was lost. And now we are able basically to, in a way, to give that fullness to all his acts that were lost, and to give all the fullness to the acts of all the saints, as the Lord mentions in the other paragraph. He says, the heroism, the pain, and the sacrifices of all the saints, ancient and new, right? That they are lacking this unity. So now we remember, we recall, and we offer them for what? To give us a miracle? No. For what? For the kingdom to come. So we place the divine will, right, in its proper place in every single act of them. This is very important because it's very simple. It's a very simple concept. But if we don't stop and think about it, and then we are going to lose it. We are not going to understand it. So now, what we can do for the saints, the thing that we can do for the saints is to place that divine will, basically, to put the divine will in its place in all their acts. But for us also to place, to have the divine will as the in its prime place in our acts, is now having the intention, having this intention. The purpose should be always the fulfillment of our fathers. First of all, the fulfillment of our Father, and if it's your will, Lord, for me to be healed. for the fulfillment of our Father, and if it's your will, Lord, to go through this and that and that. We see this basically in Gethsemane. If it's possible to pass this chalice, but not my will. May the kingdom come first. And then if it's possible for me to pass this chalice, let it be. But the kingdom of the divine will first. So this is kind of like a new way to see it, also our relationship with the saints. Because first of all, to remember all the good that they did to offer it to the Lord for the kingdom of the divine will to come. And when our Lord here mentions that everything he did, referring to Adam, he says even one single act had such a value, right? In the other paragraph, from volume 29, at the end, he says, everything. It can be said that the soul that continues our life upon earth and our will operating in her acts, words, and in everything. So here, the beauty of this way of living is that this way of living is for everybody. This way of living is to be lived exactly in the vocation that our Lord gave us. If you are called to be a husband, to live this gift right there. If you are called to be a wife, right there, in the sacrament of marriage. If you are called to live as a widow or to be as a single person for the rest of your life, to offer that for the kingdom to come. To offer your own vocation, the duties, the pains, the sufferings, the joys, the fulfillment, everything that comes with that vocation, to offer it first of all for the kingdom of the divine will to come. And that's the way you place the divine will as the prime reason for you to do everything. That's the way you basically we enthroned the divine will in our soul. I was thinking about this and it came to mind the idea of the term like the enthronement of the divine will in the soul, basically. And when you enthrone the divine will in the soul, it flows through the three senses, the three powers. It just flows and overflows, you know, if it really feels what the soul is in its totality with the presence of God. So again, this gift is to be lived right there where we are. We don't need to build houses. The house of the divine will is our soul, really. Because there is where God wants to live. There is no need for us to go to different places, you know, to live and to. No, it's right there where the Lord places us. In the world. Look at the life of our Lord. He didn't go to an expensive monastery. He didn't go, he lived his life. He had to live his life as fully human. Why? Because it is in everything that we do. He says it very clear here at the end, in everything. In every word and every sacrifice, in all your acts, in everything. And it says also the same with Adam at the beginning, that in all his acts, even the slightest had such value, even the blinking of the eye had such value if it's in line with the right purpose, if it has the will of God enthroned in the soul. So you can do as much or even more probably. Those who are living in the world in this union, having the divine will as the prime mode of doing everything, you can do even more than those who are in monasteries or those who are in convents and they do not know this gift. And those who are in monasteries and convents and they know this gift, they are doing the same. There is not a difference. You are doing as much as the one who is outside living in the street, living in wherever. This really completes, it comes to complete really the call for universal holiness. This is the completion of universal holiness. Right? Right there in the place that the Lord gave us. So, we just need to keep this in mind. Let's read a little bit more. It says, because in my divine will, he possessed, referring to Adam, the fullness of sanctity, the totality of all the divine goods. And do you know what fullness means? So he's asking Luisa Picaretta, you know what fullness means? And this is very important because when our Lord gives a concept, he gives the definition right away. And he says, fullness means to be filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing with light, sanctity, love, and with all the divine qualities, with all the divine attributes. So sanctity, love, light, we know that God is all of this, his beauty, his wisdom, his perfection. So this is what he's doing, that Adam was being filled when he was in union, in the possession of this unity, or said it in the words of Luisa Picaretta, when he had the divine will as his prime place, right? Then he was receiving all this. He was being filled to the brim with love, peace, sanctity, light. All the divine qualities that God is. Basically, God was giving himself to Adam. And this corresponds exactly with what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says in 375, that when Adam and Eve were living in this union, he was sharing his divine life with them. So it says, in such a way as to be able to fill heaven and earth over which he had dominion and through which his kingdom extended. Therefore, each act of his acts, excuse me, therefore, each one of his acts done in this fullness of divine goods had such value that no one else, as much as he might sacrifice himself, suffer, and do good, but does not possess the kingdom of my will and its total dominion, can be compared to one alone of these acts of the kingdom of my will. Basically, what he told us in the other paragraph, that if it's not in line with the purpose, then it's remains incomplete, even though it is good. Therefore, the glory, the love that Adam gave me, as long as he lived in the kingdom of my divine volition, no one has given me, because in his acts he gave me fullness and totality of all goods. And only my will can see this act, only my will. Can these acts be found? Outside of my will, they do not exist. Therefore, Adam had his riches, his acts of infinite value, which my eternal will communicated to him before the divinity, because in creating him, God had left nothing empty within him, but everything was divine fullness as much as a creature could contain. So he had to grow in this fullness, he had to grow in this knowledge, but he was being filled a little by little, but at every moment he was being filled with God himself, with his divine attributes as much as he was able to contain, because he remained in this unity of wills. Now let's go back to Luisa's letter. Luisa Picarreta says, if you do so, meaning that if the divine will have its prime place in your acts, it says the divine will carry us on its lap and will do together with us whatever we do. We will love with its love. Why? Because in this union is the divine will filling the creature as much as we are able to contain, always growing in. And then he says, we will pray together with it. And everything that we do, then it will be basically that divine will operating in us. But it has in us by participation, we have to remember again. In the Blessed Mother, it was by grace. In our Lord Jesus, it was by nature, and in us is by participation. It says, oh, how happy it will be to live in this divine life with a creature who knows it, because only knowledge gives us the highest good of possessing it. That's why it is important we all know we have the knowledge, right? Some more, some less, but we all have the knowledge, because it depends how committed we are to this way of living, and how committed we are to really studying these writings. But at some level, we all have certain level of knowledge about the divine will, and this disposes our soul also for possessing that good. The more knowledge we acquire about the divine will, the more space, right, we have in our souls to be able to receive that gift, for to receive that fullness, basically, as we creatures are able to contain, as much as we are able to contain. And as long as we are here, we are able to do all of this. So we are able to enlighten all our acts, even those who we have done in the past, now to recall them and to offer those for the kingdom to come. Let's go to the next letter before we finish today.
Letter number 90 to Sister Remigia, Fiat. My good daughter, Sister Remigia, I beg you not to waste time. Oh, how I would love to hear you say, I do not think about whether I am beautiful or bad, or whether I am cold or warm. My thought is to make all my acts and my being flow in the will of God. Then Jesus will take care of making you a saint, of rendering you constant and good as he wants you to be. As long as you keep the thought of yourself, even in good, Jesus will not take the reins to lead you and to make of you another Jesus, the repeater of his life. Let Jesus do, and you will see that soon you will feel totally different from the way you feel now. Jesus can do things better than we, so let him do. I send you my wishes, but do you know which ones? That you may no longer recognize yourself in yourself, but in Jesus. Oh, how he will love you. He will carry you in his arms and give you a place in his little heart. Be attentive and live all abandoned in Jesus. Regards from my heart, your most affectionate aunt, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. I hope you were able to catch this phrase that Luisa Picaretta is writing here, and that in line of what we have been saying this evening, I hope it resounds with you too. As long as you keep the thought of yourself, even in good, Jesus will not take the reins to lead you and make of you another Jesus, the repeater of his life. Resounds with what the Lord says. Even though the saints of the past, they did many wars, sacrifices, pains, heroism, but because they were not in line with the right purpose, they didn't have the divine will as the prime act, then they remain imperfect, disorders, incomplete. And when she says, as long as you keep the thought of yourself, even in good, this is what in a certain way keeps my attention, not like it keeps me coming back to this, because even if we do good things, pious things, holy things, but if they are not this, if they don't have the same purpose that our Lord Jesus had, and we already know now that what our Lord Jesus had in mind whenever, since the moment of the incarnation, was to restore the gift. Or let me go back. It was at the moment of the fall, right away, that he thought in giving us back this gift, because he knew that without this gift, even good things will render everything imperfect. And as creatures, basically incomplete. I want to encourage you to read that paragraph of volume 23, October 2nd, 1927, because in this we can see why Luisa Picaretta is also seeing this letter that we read. It comes from 1940, around that time. This other paragraph comes from 1927. So Luisa is already in 1940, she already had finished writing the whole Book of Heaven, right? Because she finishes reading that, I mean, writing that in 1938, in that December. So she is, well, basically indoctrinated with the divine will. Let me just read another paragraph here. It says, all powerful divine will or divine fiat operating in the creature, who letting herself be invested by its life, does not refute its dominion and its kingdom. And if Adam had deserved compassion, it was because the first period of his life was in the kingdom of the divine will. So basically, the acts that he did in union with the divine will gained for him redemption. If the celestial sovereign lady, though she was alone, was able to obtain the coming of the word upon earth, it was because she gave free will to the kingdom of the divine fiat within herself. This other idea of giving free the Blessed Mother giving free will or allowing is the same idea of having the divine will as the prime purpose of everything, or the same idea, right? You can say, well, she didn't know the Our Father yet, right? So this idea of giving free feel, meaning also letting operate it, but she knew the purpose for which everything. Did she know the whole plan 100%? Probably not, because she still had to grow and to be filled as much as creature could contain, remember. But at every moment she was growing in that understanding, in that knowledge, as things were unfolding, and she constantly was giving her fiat. So it's the same with us. At every moment, as we grow in the knowledge and understanding of this gift, and we continue to give our fiat, enthroning the divine will in our hearts, in our soul, and allowing all that grace to flow and to fill us to the brim as much as we can contain, then we will be able also to be the instruments of God so that He can unleash those graces and basically overflow the whole earth. This is also in this way we see that in this way He will fulfill the promise that He gave in the Divine Mercy promise. That He will open, right, the gates of grace, that it will overflow upon earth to fill the whole church and to fill us. So that's why this gift has to be known and has to be lived by everybody. By everybody. And it doesn't matter if you just came to know this gift and you think, oh, I wasted all my time. No, just remember, recall, and offer all your life, all the good that you have done for the kingdom of the divine will, and for all those times that we are that we have not been able to do good and that we fail, let us offer then the goodness of our Lord Jesus. Everything, all the good that the divine will did in the humanity of our Lord Jesus and in the Blessed Mother. And let us offer all that good to make up for what we have not done. For the times that we have not loved Him, let us offer His own love, His own sacrifice, everything that He did. If my very humanity was able to form the kingdom of redemption, it was only because it possessed the whole entireness and immensity of the kingdom of the eternal volition, because wherever it extends, it embraces everything, it can do anything, and there is no power against it that can constrain it. This is very powerful. That if we start living to live in this way, the Lord will be able to unleash those graces that we so much need. There is no power against it that can contain it. Let me go back again to the idea of the divine, the soul being the house of the divine will. Because you can live this gift in wherever you are. The lady in the nursing home, the priest in his rectory, the farmer planting vegetables, the wife cleaning the house, the doctors, everybody. Because here, what counts basically is that you remain, that you go back and to enter in that union that Adam possessed before the fall. So, one alone who possesses the kingdom of my will is worth more than everything and everyone, and can earn and impetrate, meaning to obtain, what others together can neither earn nor obtain. So what he's saying is that little thing, that blinking of the eye, that little sacrifice that you do, wherever you are, it can obtain even more than the rest if you are in that union. Because all others together, whoever, however good, but without the life of my will in them, are always the little flames, the little plants, the little flowers, which at the most serve to adorn the earth. They are subject to being extinguished and to wither, and the divine goodness can neither place great entrustments upon them nor concede such portents as to do good to the entire world. This is a long passage, but I'm going to leave it there, so I want you to make some time and just read the whole thing in light of everything that we are talking about now, because the idea is that we may continue to grow and understand the whole gift. So to know what it means now, to have the divine will enthroned in our hearts, what is the reason we do things, what should be the prime reason for everything, how to offer our sacrifices, our joys, everything, our whole life. Especially during this time of Lent, now we remember the whole church, the universal church together. During this time, we remember that period of our Lord, of the life of our Lord, which is his passion. So we remember, we recall, and we offer all the good that he obtained for the whole human race, for the kingdom to come, and with him together, we offer everything that we are also. So in this, the more you start thinking about this and about and praying with this now, you can expand the whole thing now. You offer all the good of the acts of creation, right? To love God and to ask for the kingdom to come. So we ask, we look at the sun and the moon and the stars, and we see the light, the power of God there, and we ask him with the power of the sun, with the force of the wind, with the beauty of the skies, to grant us the gift of the divine will upon earth. So it is a way to call the kingdom to come, and this is the greatest thing we can do, and we can do it right there where God has placed us. That's the beauty of all of this. So let us finish today and let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us the grace to continue growing in an understanding of this gift through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and through the intercession of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and Saint Annibal de Francio, that we may possess the gift of the divine will operating in our soul. For the only reason that God intended this gift, the kingdom to come upon earth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.